Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We are so glad to be with you. I'm Pastor George Pearsons. This is Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons. And we thoroughly enjoy being on this broadcast and being able to talk to you and minister to you. What an honor it is.
You can tell. I'd love to hear from you. You know, we forgot to say that earlier in the week. But if you've been watching this and you've enjoyed watching this series on being strong in the end times, really like to hear from you. Really like to get some feedback from how this helps you. You know, we like hearing things like that. It helps us to know if what we're saying and doing is of help to you, especially, or if you think there's something more we could emphasize, well, we wouldn't mind hearing about that too, but we really want to hear from you.
And we're grateful for all the new people that are watching us, as well as our regulars out there who are so faithful to watching the Voice of Victory broadcast and have been for many years. And our assignment here is to help build your faith, and in this particular series that we're doing, to get you strong in the Lord, to be able to face the things that are going on in the world and face the things that are going on in your life in a place of victory.
That's
the
right.
Operative word is victory.
Victory. You know, I really would like to hear from those of you that have watched for a long time. The Believer's Voice of Victory went on the air in 1989, the daily broadcast, Monday through Friday, 1989, January of 89. I would like to hear from you. Those of you that have been watching, maybe some of you have been watching since 1989, and I was the producer of the broadcast then, so I especially would like to hear from you. If you go all the way back, those early, early, early years, 89, 90, 91, maybe you have your favorite series or episode. Well, let us hear from you, because I'd just like to know that you're out there. And if you've just started watching, well, tell us what you think. We'd love to know that you're out here. It's just nice to get a feel for who's in the audience.
Absolutely. And you know, it's we have all of these outlines that are available to you that we've been studying from, all of the notes that you are able to take and study. And ministers, you can take this and do an amazing series in your church. And you can download them, you can print them out absolutely free, kcm.org/notes. And that's why we have these and we make them available to you.
And we, write them. We write these.
Yeah, we do.
Not generated.
We didn't get them out of the machine.
No. I mean, we draw from things we've learned from a lot of people.
Yeah.
But this is you and me, babe.
That's it. And so we're talking about...
And Tracy Newberry, she does a lot of work. I tell you, if it wasn't for Tracy, this would look like a mess. But she makes something real pretty out of it. So what you get is very nice and orderly.
So we're coming to the close of these messages that we're doing. And we're talking, and we picked this up from yesterday, but we started talking about enemies of a strong spirit. And when you know where your enemy is and who he is, you can deal with him.
That's right.
And people don't realize there are certain things that will deplete the strength of your spirit. The scripture that we used was Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 from the Living Bible. It says, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And then the Amplified Translation says, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. It would really be something to do a full study on that scripture right there.
Right. They're just the things, the little things can trip us up and keep us from running that race. George, you notice there it talks about two things in that verse, unnecessary weights and sin. Two different things, unnecessary weights. I made a statement yesterday, there are things necessary to our lives that can unnecessarily weigh us down. And if you engage in those things, they will lead you to sin. We talked about yesterday that first category of unnecessary was an overloaded life.
Yeah.
Too many irons in the fire, calendar full all the time.
Yep.
You keep doing that, eventually you'll notice your time with the Lord will begin to diminish,
less and less.
And that becomes a problem mentally, a problem physically, but especially a problem spiritually. So we have to be selective how we spend our spiritual resources, that spirit of man. It takes faith to fellowship with the Lord and faith to follow Him. So feeding feeding from the Word of God on your faith, feeding your faith, is what will allow you to have the spiritual ear to hear and know how to keep your life from being overloaded.
Right.
And if you have an overloaded life and you don't keep that in check, it leads to sin. And we identified the sin that mm-hmm. that leads to yesterday.
Worry, care, and dread, all rooted in fear. And the Word of God plainly tells us, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, Amplified, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you, casting all the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. If you could see in the Spirit what anxiety looks like, it's a weight that sits on top of a person. And it's saying here, cast all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, over on Him. So that's a very important sin that we need to get rid of in our lives.
And it is a sin to worry, because worry is rooted in fear, and the Scripture hundreds of times says, fear not, yeah. fear not, fear not. And it, because when we're fearing, then we're not looking to the Lord. And that word cast means to push off,
yeah.
throw it up,
yeah.
just throw it over on the Lord.
Yeah.
But we talked yesterday about that can be a moment by moment exercise. Mm-hmm. But the more you yeah. by faith say, no, that's not my care. That's not my, that mean it's not my responsibility to do what He shows me to do, but it's not my care. It's not my worry. And we don't let the devil browbeat us.
That's not my care.
Not my care. Not my care. And if we're holding on to it, then he doesn't have it.
That's right.
And that's when it gets scary.
That's right. And another one, we started talking about this yesterday, is worldly things.
Yeah.
Things of the world that drain our strength, drain our ability. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So you really need to take an inventory of your life and begin to identify those things that are time stealers, that are endeavoring to encroach on your time with the Lord, and things that are just plain unnecessary weights in our lives. Like, for instance,
well, I listed here TV, you know, do all to the glory of God. Well, there's nothing inherently wrong about television,
yeah.
but it has a lot in it and on it that does not bring glory to the Lord.
Yeah.
And what you put in your eyes and you put in your ears are going to find its way into your heart and in your mouth and into your actions. And so all the stress and worries and troubles, this is everything from gossip TV, mm-hmm. news, fear,
yeah.
all, and they find it in magazines, news magazines, fashion magazines. Oh my goodness, the stuff you just, oh my, just, you know, it's full of things that are not meant, they're not godly, they don't bring glory yeah. to God. Video yeah. games, shopping, buying, well, of course we have to shop, of course we go buying things, but when they become, when they begin to speak to us louder than the leading of the Holy Spirit or our own spirit, it's a problem. You can make an artificial God out of recreation, sports, hobbies.
That's right.
Eat up your time.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Exercise is good. We both work out. Mm-hmm. We both exercise a lot. But it has a temporal effect. And you start making a God out of it. And we know people who have. And it will not bring glory to God. It brings glory to yourself. And that will
right.
get you in trouble
right.
overeating. But the worst, I think, of all is social media.
Yeah.
The, you know,
the
this
constant on yeah. the phone and constant using those things. And the things that are on there, they're so accessible now that you can get whatever kind of news you want to get. And, but you can also get the Word. And that's what's even more important than anything is to use those devices to be able to feed your spirit so that you will be strong. And that's why oftentimes, and we've got a fast coming up in the church, and one of the things we do on that day, we call it a Daniel fast, but we get rid of things. We get rid of the unnecessary weights. And we've had testimony after testimony in fasts that we have done where people have been able to get answers and directions and see so clearly what they need to see. And it just offloads the world. That's what we're talking about. Offloading
yeah.
the world.
And taking charge so that those, yeah. things that are necessary to our lives don't become unnecessary yep. weights and then lead to sin. So the moment that you come to anything that's doesn't bring glory to God, I don't care where it is, television, as we said, magazines, social media, sports, hobbies, anything in your life, and it's not bringing glory to God,
yeah.
movies, boy, they're just, we just kind of quit doing
yeah,
a
we
whole
did.
Lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were both really into the whole media thing, you know, we're production-oriented people, but we just had to put it aside. And after a little bit, you don't even think about it, don't mm-hmm. even notice it, mm-hmm. because our lives are more consumed with the Lord, yeah. our relationship with Him,
yeah.
and then following His leading and direction as we serve others. And by doing that, it keeps perspective. But it's a constant effort, because the world is a constant screaming voice that's pulling on you. So we just cut things off the minute something is offensive to the cross of Jesus.
Yeah.
Cut it off. Jesus said it's better to cut off your hand. He didn't mean really take a hacksaw and cut your hand off. What's he mean? It would feel just as hard to cut some your limb off, pluck your eye out, than to cut off that TV, cut off that social media, unfollow that one, mm-hmm. cut off mm-hmm. that food as your source and your comfort. Whatever it is, cut off those with things that you do or think or say or drink or eat or buy.
Yes, yes.
You just cut it off
yeah.
because it doesn't bring glory to the Lord, and yeah. let Him be the source and fulfill. And when we, anything that glorifies itself or the flesh more than it
correct.
Does Jesus,
yeah.
cut it off,
mm-hmm.
because left unchecked, those worldly things, those necessary things
right.
that become unnecessary weights, they will weaken you and they set you up for sin.
Yeah.
Some of the most destructive sin to you and your family. What sins would those be? This is a whole category of sin, George.
Yeah, I mean, Psalm 31:10, it says, sin has drained my strength. So there it is right there in plain English. Sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and make you pay a higher price than you ever wanted to pay.
You know, Samson, he yeah. became weak.
Yeah.
It got all caught up in his pride and sexual desire and pressure, and he let that get to him, and he, just like Adam did,
yep.
he chose that over what the Lord had told
right,
him in his consecration.
Right.
And it cost him. It cost him his life. It cost salvation to the whole nation for a long time. And so we have to be very mindful of those things. And what else? Lot became very weak.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed this? The Bible says that Lot, he cast his tent outside of Sodom. But then you know what? The next thing you know, Lot is inside Sodom.
Yeah.
So what you're giving yeah. your attention to will draw you right into the very pits
right.
of sin and death and hell. And you just said, it winds up causing you to do
yeah.
what you didn't really
yeah.
think you would ever do.
Yeah.
That's all part of the works of the flesh. Sin is yielding to the things of the flesh. And the Bible, thank God, He helps us, makes it very clear that all these things, this is a category.
Yeah.
And I think it would behoove people if we took some time, George,
mm-hmm.
to go through these works of the flesh in Galatians
sure.
chapter 5 and take a look at them. And be willing, as you hear these things, don't even get close to it. If it even
yeah.
smacks of or smells like, looks like, or even might entice you, or you've ever seen it entice somebody else, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, to be able to run the race that's set before us, we've got to get rid of these things. And we are in a race. And there are things that are slowing you down, weighing you down, keeping you back, that it says here in Galatians 5:19-21, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and when it talks about the works of the flesh, it's working on your flesh. It's weighing on your flesh and keeping you, holding you back from making the necessary progress that you have to make in your life. And these are the things right here. Adultery.
What is
adultery?
Adultery.
Sex between a married person and not, and
someone.
One not, that is their spouse. This
right.
is not their spouse.
Right.
Jesus said, even looking with lust produces the same result in the heart.
And that's, you know, there are some things that the Bible talks about are sins of the flesh, but there are other things, man, they'll affect your heart. They affect you in the spirit. And, you know, what Adam did as high treason was really spiritual adultery. And the Bible warns, I mean, out of all the things in the Bible that you see run through causing some of the worst consequences is adultery. Yep. And I've heard somebody say, well, we didn't actually have sex. But Jesus said, you just lusting after somebody trigger something in your spirit and talk about a spiritual drain, a work of the flesh, a spiritual drain. And it's so costly. It's costly to you, costly to other people, costly to relationships, and it'll destroy the very beauty of what God gave for marital relations.
Right, right. So, the next one, fornication, which porneia.
That's the Greek word for it.
Pornography.
Yeah.
Prostitution, incest, sexual encounters outside of marriage. Once again, it weighs on the conscience. And people may not think it does, but it does. It weighs heavily on an individual's conscience to break a covenant in marriage.
Yeah, the pornography that from porneia, her much teaching on that, and it actually releases a chemical in the brain, much similar to drugs, but it has a destructive effect. Mm-hmm. It destroys physically, mentally, emotionally, and it'll wreck your spiritual life as well. So, yes, of course, I mean, it's hard these days to not have something come across your phone. I mean, look through the most innocent of apps and all of a sudden there it is in your eyes and you just freeze on it going, what?
Yeah.
So it's out there. We've all entertained, whether for a moment or for a long period of time, engaged in things that we have no business looking at, thinking about, talking about, or engaging in. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Praise God.
And so we're not hopeless and lost, but we have to run to the blood and learn to run to the blood of Jesus and receive forgiveness at the slightest thing to keep you from engaging in it to the point that it really starts to be destructive.
Right. Another one is uncleanness, physically unclean, but also thoughts, language.
Yeah, unclean language.
Yeah.
You know, our society is full of foul language. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
We just turn it off. Just turn it. People start using unpleasant F word. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want that in my ears.
Yeah.
And
I
revolt at that because the Lord revolts at that. And you know what? Just being nasty and dirty and unclean. Clean your house. Clean your room. Clean your body. And clean your mouth. Those are evidences of a strong spirit when you clean that up.
That mother anointing was coming up.
Excuse me.
Lewdness, well, that's showing no restraint. It's devotion, commitment to something else in place of God. Idolatry.
Yep, that's what idolatry is. Mm-hmm. But lewdness, if we could go back to that, George, you know, I always think about lewd. People use it in terms of being unrestrained in what you wear and so forth, but it's having no restraint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Idolatry.
Idolatry. Sorcery. Wow. Witchcraft. Drug usage. Manipulating.
Yeah. Just being manipulative is tied to witchcraft.
Yep. Yeah. That's
manipulating people.
Hatred. Great dislike. Ill will. Disregard.
Just means disregard. Disregard people.
Yeah.
They don't matter. Bible says that's a form of hatred.
Contentions, argumentative by habit or nature.
Yep.
Just being contentious.
Just no matter, you know, you say, well, things are red, and they say, no, it's not, it's blue. That's argumentative all the time.
That's right. Outbursts of wrath, that's having a short fuse, touchy, tantrums.
Tantrums, yep. Jealousy, being resentful about others who are being blessed or favored. Selfish ambitions. Trying to get your own way regardless of God or regardless of other people.
Dissensions, angry quarrels, heresies, false teaching, sects that deny the Lord.
Yep. It's not just because somebody doesn't believe like you doesn't mean that's heresy.
Yeah.
You know, but people that are neglecting the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah. Murders or envy, discontentment, complainers, murders, premeditated attack.
Yeah, murdering is premeditated thought of expressions of hatred.
Yep.
Okay?
Drunkenness, uncontrolled binges of any kind.
Interesting. Yeah, revelries.
Yep.
Parties with excesses. And then he goes on to say, and the like
and
of
the
which
like.
I tell you beforehand. So anything that is like any of this, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that to keep you necessarily out of heaven can lead you down that path, but it means that it interferes, it undermines your strength, your authority, and your position in Christ.
You
can't draw on what belongs to you. You don't get it because you're engaging in these things of the flesh.
Right, right.
Okay.
Relationship problems, those can be draining.
That's a big one. If I jump down to 2 Corinthians, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, communion of light with darkness? You know, if you're not married, don't marry an unbeliever. But don't marry people that you can't walk in agreement with, that you struggle with. Don't go into business with people that can't walk in agreement and peace with you. And you remember that happened in Genesis, Rebecca and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'd just rather die than to see Jacob married one of those Hittite women that Esau married. Well, look what that produced.
What happened? Yeah. Ooh,
so
it was draining.
It was draining.
Wow.
But the answer to all, yeah, but I am married and there is a lot of strife and there is quarreling. Well, as for you, then we have to look at what 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yep.
the love of God by faith that's working by love will get you through anything and
that's
change
right.
a situation.
That's right. Praise God. Love. You want me to read that?
Yeah.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever.
Wow, I like what the King James says, love never fails. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if I love you, that somehow it's going to turn you to love me. Maybe, maybe not. But what it does mean is that love never stops loving.
That's
praise
right.
the Lord.
That's right.
So I know we went through all of that really fast, but that's why you need the notes, kcm.org/notes.
Study these.
So that you can go back and meditate on those things. I wish we had another, you can spend a week on just those, but being very mindful and go to the Word for yourself and look at those things. But now we have this to remind you of this week.
This is really special. It's your brand new book, An Encounter with Him.
Just came out.
Living Connected to God Through Prayer. And it's for all of us to be able to read and to be able to digest what you have learned about prayer over all of these years, what the Lord has shown you about prayer. It's amazing. All of the things that you've learned, you've caught and been taught.
Yes, there were a lot of things I caught from my grandmother, but were taught by the things I've learned from my dad, Lynn Hammond, Billy Brim, Annette Taylor, and others. And I really want to share those things with you. So if you want to know more about how you can order your book, just watch this. Hello, I'm Terry Copeland Pearsons. You know, everything I've ever taught or written about prayer over the years, including what you will read in my new book, can be traced back to my grandmother, Vanetta Copeland. Not because she formally taught me about prayer, but because she lived it and I watched it. There isn't anything Vanetta Copeland had with God that everyone else can't have. There isn't anything in God that's happened to her or to me that couldn't happen to you. My prayer is that you will launch into new places in the Spirit and that prayer will become for you more than ever before a living, life-changing encounter with Him.
Order An Encounter with Him, the new book by Terry Copeland Pearsons, for only $24.95 on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. we're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.
So I'm reading this book, and it's very interesting in here, and I want you to explain this. You're talking about waiting on the Lord in prayer. You said one reason people get frustrated trying to wait on the Lord is they haven't trained themselves to do this. They pray for a couple of minutes, then realize their minds are off somewhere else. What you have to do is, when that happens, is to pull your mind back and turn it toward the Lord again. And you have to deal with your mind like it's an old manual typewriter. What is that?
What's a typewriter?
Old manual typewriter? No, tell him the example.
This example. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you don't know what a typewriter is, then what can I say? You know, go to the internet and look for it. But with a typewriter, you know, the carriage would come across this way. And I learned this from Lynn Hammond. Mm-hmm. But you had to bring it back. And you train yourself to do that by keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And you do that by the force of faith in your spirit to tell your mind, no, mind, we're not thinking about that right now. We're thinking about waiting on the Lord. Because if our minds are stayed on Him, the Bible says there's peace. And then it says, let peace be your umpire. That's where the leading, that's where He speaks to
that's
you.
Right.
It's in that peaceful place.
And there are some folks that may need prayer as well. And so we have prayer ministers right here on the property of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They're ready to pray for you. The number's up on your screen, and you'll be able to stand in prayer as Terry has taught us to pray in faith, believing God and receiving from Him.
Yep, and you can order your book at that phone number as well as kcm.org. Yep. So we hope and encourage you that you'll do that today.
That's right. So we're going to come back for one last part of the series tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay, but until then, remember this. This is Pastors George and Terry Pearson's reminding you that God loves you,
we love you,
and Jesus is Lord.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.